as many here on a beautiful Sunday during the summer as are here. We're blessed to be able to have the Kellys with us with a presentation of the things that are going on with the ministry over in Kigoma. And so we'll be starting with that after announcements and worship. We're excited to have you here, and we're just blessed that everything is going well. On our announcements, if you would open up your bulletins, we'll go through them as quickly as we can. Our reading this morning is from Matthew 19. We'll be reading verses 21 through 26, and it's entitled, He Shall Subdue. It's sort of an ominous title, but it really is the promise of the Scriptures. He doesn't subdue us. He draws us. He draws the believer, but he subdues his enemies. And that comes from what we're covering today with Psalm 47, all nine verses of it. Our Sunday, our schedule this week is our normal schedule with ladies' prayer at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Thursday, we're here for our midweek Bible study in the evening at 7 p.m. as we go through the book of Revelation. And on Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. is our assigned date to work with the inner city kids at Maggie's camp. And that's going to be at Willowbrook Christian Church. There's more on that here in a minute with the announcements. Saturday's schedule is our normal schedule with 8 a.m. men's prayer, and we encourage all the men to come out and participate if it fits in their schedule. You might even want to adjust your schedule so that it does fit. What the heck? On our announcements, we do have Maggie's camp this week. They're looking for volunteers all week long. They have a number of them already, but you can never have too many volunteers when you're dealing with 120 kids. So praise the Lord for that. We're looking for volunteers, especially on Friday, to make it a memorable day for the kids. That's the date that Whitestone, it's our turn among the five or six other churches Friday to make sure that we have all the snacks, all the food, all the servants, and all of the helpers that can work in the kitchen and getting the food served to the children that are going to be there. We have been told to plan on not only the kids but also the adult volunteers and the counselors and plan on feeding 150 people on Friday. So we're looking for all kinds of things here. A couple of the ladies have already gotten together in the menu for Friday is going to be mac and cheese and ham. The mac and cheese has already been supplied as well as the baking of it ahead of time. But we are looking for we're looking for donations so that we can buy probably five, more likely six hams. So if you want to get together with a friend, if you want to buy one yourself, if you want to supply the money for one yourself, that would be great. We'd like to be able to just have the money and go buy, six identical hams so that they're all the same and they can be carved up at the church then that morning. Donation envelopes are in the back on the table for the hams and the snacks that are going to be supplied. There's a snack in the morning when the kids first get there about 9 o'clock, and then there's another snack at 3 in the afternoon after they're done with their activities during the day before they head back home. If you're planning on serving on Friday at the at Maggie's camp, please touch base with Noreen so that we can kind of coordinate who's going to be doing what. And I think at least one person I mentioned that last year the kids were coming or arriving by their buses at 9:30. They're actually leaving at 8:30 from downtown, and they'll be here about 9 instead. So plan accordingly. You might want to be here like 15, 20 minutes early just to get yourself kind of situated and familiar with the facility. CareNet of Wayne County, coming up next week on July 20th, they have their Ride for Life fundraiser. You can check the bulletin board in the back. But they have, it's a wonderful fundraiser for them with all kinds of things that go on, but it's a ride for life. It's motorcycles, it's motor vehicles. They've got another route for bicycles. They've got a third route for walkers. Whatever way you'd like to participate, that's available to you. And you can get more information from them directly, and their phone number is listed there in the bulletin. Our work days are going to be suspended for the remainder of the summer. However, if you find yourself with a day that you want to come in and you want to continue with some of the renovations, I'm going to ask that you get in touch with Bob Relier and coordinate with him. If your days and his days are available and can mesh, we'll gladly make sure that everything is here and available for the work that needs to continue upstairs. As always, there's an agape box under the bulletin board for your tithes and love offerings. Prayer requests can be plopped in there too, or you can email them to the church email address, which is listed in your bulletin. CDs of Sunday morning and Thursday evening teachings are available after services, and to keep abreast of times and events and schedules online, you can go to the website. And it is, it's changed. Again, we're no longer a blog spot. We have our own .com. It's whitestonecf.com. You'll be amazed at what the Lord's been putting together with our webmaster and our web designer. It's just a dynamic site. We're very excited about it. And, of course, communion service is offered the first Sunday of every month and on select holidays. So please avail yourself of the website and the information on it. On our prayer requests, all of our folks are still on that we've been praying for so long among our family and friends. But just highlighting a few this morning, we've got Darianne and Nicole and their family, that the Lord would just work salvation in Darianne's life and that she would make wise decisions for her baby daughter, Nicole. We're praying for Valerie because of a couple tests that she had this past week, and she has another coming up on the 25th, so you could keep her lifted up in prayer. We're praying also for Bernie Kisley, whose brain tumor has stopped growing, amazingly so. The Lord is just keeping him going, and this is just incredible because it's a terminal brain cancer. And we're praying also for Tom and Rosie Vance. Tom is continuing to heal up from his last surgery, and they're preparing him for the next one in the series of surgeries that he's going to have. You could pray for him and his wife, Rosie. We're praying for Sharon Betters and her family. She's got some cancer anomalies that are going on in some of her blood work and her cancer numbers. We're praying for Pastor Chuck Smith from Costa Mesa with his stage 4 lung cancer. We're praying for Tammy Wagoner, the gal from the Macedon area. She was injured in a jet ski accident. She's in a coma, and they think they're probably going to have to do some brain surgery to remove skull fragments from her brain. So it was a severe accident. So just pray for her and her family. Pray for their salvation. Just a horrible situation, but pray that the Lord uses this as a catalyst to reveal himself to the whole family. We're praying for Marge and for Bill. Bill has been moved into a hospice care home at this point. He's more than just Marge and a nurse's aide can handle. So they have found a hospice facility for him to move into. We're praying for Kayla and Linda. We're praying for Sue, Carol, and Ron. We're praying for Peggy as she continues to heal up from her neck surgery. The Reliers, the Roses, and the Ritzes. And we're praying for Mickey Bombick as she recovers from her broken arm. And Tom and Carol Tett. We just want to lift their names up before the Lord. Tom is still going through chemo. And Carol is a 5 or 6 year survivor of cancer, and so she's real familiar with what her husband is going through. We're praying for Tim Mumpson in the Philippines. We're praying that for the Kellys, as always. They're here today with us with a presentation. We're praying for David LeCompte working in Afghanistan and Chechnya, and we're reminded to pray for our military personnel, both here and overseas, their families that are back at home. And there's several young people that are listed there to lift their names before the Lord. We're praying for our government leaders, from our president all the way down to our local leaders, that they might come to know Christ and they be spirit-filled. and make godly decisions. We're also praying for our prison inmates that we're in touch with. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem as the Lord directs. And we just ask you to keep Christian marriages and those seeking work and job changes in mind in your prayers, and just be blessed. And I'm not going to harp on the website, but keep our webmaster in prayer. Now that the website is up and some of the teachings from here are available online, there's spiritual warfare going on with computer viruses, with hackers, with all kinds of things that the webmaster is basically under attack. So we would ask that you would just keep them all in your prayers. There's three or four people involved with it, and we're just blessed that we're able to do this, and the Lord has been providing it for us. So praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we get together this morning, we just want to praise your name. We want to study your word. We want to know you more. We want to be drawn into your presence. And we pray, Lord, that you would impart your Holy Spirit with each one of us. Let your Spirit come down, Lord, to fill each of our hearts and to block out everything else, every other stray thought from our minds. We ask that you would be with us this morning. Lead and guide, Lord. Be blessed with our worship. Let it be a sweet sound to your ears. And, Lord, we pray that you would just fill our hearts, our heads, with more of your love, that we might know you more, that we might see your face someday, and that we would enjoy this journey that you have us on, this journey of walking with you daily, embracing your fellowship, and Lord, ministering to the flock. Help us to be your ambassadors here on earth. Help us to walk worthy of your calling. And Lord, we ask, maybe most importantly for all of the things that we're doing this morning, we ask you to be mindful of all those that are listed on the prayer list this morning. Some of the needs are physical, some of them are spiritual, some of them are emotional. But Lord, you can touch, and you are our great physician. You're the healer that we seek. Lord, we ask that you lift us up to the heavenlies and that you would draw us into your presence by your Holy Spirit. Let him fall upon us even now during worship. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We all stand up.
What they were doing when we first met them was that they would go over on these little short missionary trips, and they would take over what they called birthing kits, because the infant mortality rate was so high over there, due to the lack of sanitary conditions and sterile fields for them to birth their babies. These birthing kits would amount to nothing more than a plastic sheet for these mamas to birth their babies on. It meant a razor blade to cut the umbilical cord and some string to tie it off. They did that for several years. That's where this all began. Tim would go over and he would share his mechanical skills as a mechanic here. He was a mechanic here in the States, and he shared those skills to help people's vehicles to keep running, because there are no little machine shops, there are no little repair garages around over there. It's who you know, and it's networking to find out how to keep your vehicle running. So that's how they started out, with birthing kits, netting to keep the malaria mosquitoes out. Simple things. And now they have managed to build a trade school. They have managed to start up a soccer team in the community. They have got a school for the kids to go to, and they are assisting other children and families to be able to pay for tuition for the kids who otherwise, as Tim said, wouldn't have a chance to do anything about getting an education. So the Lord is great. He has done all of this. He has done all of this, and we're just so pleased to have you with us this morning. It's great to get an update. Great to see your faces again. Now you need to get back over there and finish the work. That's why it was there. Thank you. Analogy wonder. If you would turn in your Bibles with me this morning, we'll read our reading this morning, our joint reading from Matthew chapter 19. We'll read verses 21 through 26. Jesus said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth." The young man said unto him, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The underwriting message here is that rich men may have a difficult time getting into heaven. The poor, equally, may have a difficult time getting into heaven. But there's something interesting about the difference between rich and poor. The poor are quite often open to the spiritual side of their life. They're looking for someone to relieve them, literally, to save them in a material world. But the rich seem to have more things and more substance to sustain them and to keep them going. And so there's that one additional hurdle that a rich person needs to overcome. And that is to be able to say, this is all going to burn. Everything I have, all my possessions. Paul says he counts them but dung, the things that he had gained in this life. And so there are people like we see in Kigoma, like we see down the street, that are having a difficult time financially, spiritually, emotionally. Maybe their health is compromised. There's all kinds of people because we all have different problems going on in our lives. No one escapes life's pitfalls and life's problems. But the last line of Jesus' words, and you'll have to catch the innuendo here, he says, "But Jesus beheld them." Literally, he looked at them right in the eye. Right in the eye. Caught their attention. And speaks these wonderful, soothing, and helpful, and hopeful words. And he said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." God levels the playing field because he looks at the heart of each individual. God levels the playing field because he knows that he has gifts and he has things for each and every one. And it's with that in mind that we look at our psalm this morning, Psalm 47. It's the fourth psalm in this series of joyful psalms. It's a psalm of the millennium. It's the psalm of a time to come. It's a prophetic word so that everyone can share in that hope, that blessed hope that we all look to. From Psalm 47, we read, "Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph." This is an interesting opening for this psalm, and the history of it is that this would be sung seven times every New Year, every Jewish New Year. When the time came around, the congregation would get up and they would sing this psalm through seven times as a reminder of the difficult times that they had just gone through from the past year. But just like as we celebrate New Year, the New Year comes with a lot of hope. Things might change. Things can change. God can change things. All things are possible with God. It's wonderful to understand that this is a psalm of celebration. The old year is gone. And we might say in the church, the old man is gone. And the new year holds much promise. And the new man holds a lot of promise too as we continue to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." The voice of triumph is a voice of sustenance. We were sustained and we were triumphant during that last year, literally. During that year of hardship, during the problems, during the difficulties, health concerns, jobs, neighbor problems, family problems, all of those things, no wonder they're clapping their hands. It's the voice of triumph that is raised up to the heavens. For the Lord Most High, and the word is terrible here, the Lord Most High is terrible, but it means fearful. It means that He inspires awe in us. He does things that we can't even begin to imagine, much less understand and grasp His purpose behind them. The Lord Most High is awe-inspiring. He holds us in awe. He is a great King over all the earth. He is a great King over all the earth. But not yet. There's an awful lot of people that are non-believers. There's an awful lot of atheists. There's an awful lot of members of cults. There's a lot of people that just ignore any sense of God in any way, shape, manner, or form. So there's enemies of God. There's enemies of Christ. There's enemies of His church. But it does say, "For the Lord Most High, He is a great King over all the earth." When will He be a great King over all the earth? He'll be that King at His second coming. This is a psalm that looks forward to that millennial reign when God is triumphant. Jesus Christ is triumphant. He comes down in the clouds. He brings an end to the great tribulation period, and He establishes that 1,000-year millennial reign of peace as He restores His relationship with mankind. As He reconciles the earth, even, back to Himself. I read someplace, we've all become familiar with continental drift, that term from the geologists that reminds us that the earth was all one land mass, and at one point in time, as recorded in Genesis 10, the continents began to drift apart. Well, I heard a couple of weeks ago that the continents are beginning to drift back together again. That the oceans are changing. The continents are moving still. You know, I hope it's not going to take as long to bring the continents back together as it took to divide them apart. But if it does, it does. Because that's part of that reconciliation that the Lord is bringing upon the earth. He is a great King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us. What people are under us these days? None. Every man seeks his own. Every man is under his own authority. Every man is destined to become the boss of himself. You know, that rebellious sin nature within us says, "I'm the boss of me. I make my choices." And that's certainly true, but the choices that we make often determine, and usually determine, the consequences, whether they be blessings or whether they be judgments. When shall all the nations be under their feet, under the feet of these sons of Korah as they sing? In the millennial reign again. When the Lord sets up His faithful to judge, to rule with Him from Jerusalem. Because when the Lord does come back, He brings us back with Him. We've already departed the earth. We've gone in the rapture. And Revelation 19 says, "The Lord returns and the armies of heaven with Him, the armies of angels and the armies of the saints." We come back with Him. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. What a hope that is for us, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ will be true to His word. He'll be faithful. He'll overcome all of those horrible consequences that we may have led ourselves into. But He comes back to judge those that didn't call on His name. He comes back to judge those that need to understand what it means to be God, to be faithful to your word, to be ethical in all things, to be a father to the fatherless, to be a husbandman to every man, woman, and child. That's all forward-looking, a time yet to come. Now, the good thing is that for believers, He's already that to each of us on an individual basis. He is our Lord, and He is our Savior. And I think I've said this before, it's easy to say, Lord, be my Savior. Save me from what's to come. It's a little bit more of a challenge to say, Lord, You are my Lord. I live to serve You. I live to do Your will. You're the Lord of my life, not me. No longer is it just me, it's Him for the believer. And that's a goal that's a high goal that we live and strive towards every day. Because as Paul says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would like to do. You would like to be able to be pleasing to God consistently, 100% of the time. You would like to be able to say, yes, Lord, every thought is brought into Your captivity. Isn't that a frustration? The Lord is good, though. Because just like David, that conniver, that plotter, that conspirator, that murderer, that adulterer. Just like David, God knows David's heart, and He knows our hearts too. He knows what good desires are in there, and those are the desires that He has implanted in us. The Psalms say that He gives us the desires of our heart. He puts those desires, His desires, in there for us, so that we keep that lofty goal at the forefront of our mind. And yeah, we can get distracted, but the Lord will soon bring us back on track. It'll be a word from a friend, a word from a brother or sister. It'll be a word from the Word itself. It'll be that still small voice from within in our prayer time. He'll remind us, and He'll say, but you're mine. You shouldn't be doing those kinds of things. And we're reminded then, repent. And He doesn't ask us to repent unless there's repentance. That's an accomplishable task. He doesn't ask us to repent without empowering us to do so. He doesn't ask us to turn around and come back without there being a pathway for us to approach Him again. And here's the really neat thing for believers. In verse 4 of Psalm 47, He says, He shall choose our inheritance for us. The excellency of Jacob, whom He loveth. And then He says, Selah. Think about that. The Lord chooses our inheritance for us. Turn back to Psalm 16 just for a moment. Psalm 16 is just a wonderful support reference here for what we've just spoken, that last verse. In verse 5 of Psalm 16, it says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He has chosen our inheritance for us, what we just read. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. You sustain me so that the inheritance will be mine. You sustain me to get to that point of inheriting. And what do we inherit? The Lord. He is the portion of our lot, our inheritance. It says in verse 6 here, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That's because we're children of the living God. We're children of God. We're children of Christ. We're His, and He's ours. In verse 11, when you drop down in that Psalm 16, it says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence, that's when we receive the inheritance. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. It speaks of ascension. It speaks of ascending up into His presence and being with Him. We get a taste of that in those inheritances even now while we're on earth as believers. Believers get a taste of their inheritance now. We live in the body of Christ. We live with the rest of the body of Christ around us. We meet regularly with the body of Christ. We pray to the Lord Jesus daily. We read His Word. We get a taste of what's in store for us. Because what's in store for us is Jesus Christ before us 24/7, 365. No, cancel that. Jesus before us for eternity. There's no time in heaven. We will just be enthralled to be in his presence and before His face. Back in Psalm 47, now we understand a little bit about why the psalmist writes Selah. Think about that. Take a moment. Give pause. Spend some time. Dwell on that. That He's choosing our inheritance for us. The excellency of Jacob, whom He loveth. The inheritance that He's choosing for us, and this is a psalm to the Father, because they didn't know of a son. The excellency of Jacob is Jesus. Jesus is the excellent seed that came out of Jacob's loins. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob. Our inheritance for us is Jesus, whom He loveth. Well, Jacob loves Him, certainly, but the Father loves Him. The Father loves the Lord. The Lord loves us. There's that wonderful relationship with the Trinity. God has gone up with a shout. How interesting. In order for Him to go up, He had to have come down to earth, to visit the earth. This is more prophecy in this psalm. It speaks of the coming Redeemer, the Savior. God Himself is the Redeemer. Just as He was that one who in Genesis 22 with Abraham, He said, God Himself will be the lamb for the sacrifice. I think the King James says, God shall provide Himself a lamb for the sacrifice. He's the lamb. He's the Redeemer. He's the one that's coming. The one that was promised all the way back in Genesis 3:15. He has gone up with a shout, and the Lord, with the sound of a trumpet, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. So what does the Lord ask us to do? Sing praises, sing praises, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. It doesn't get any more simple than that. When we are in His presence, that's all we are going to want to do, to sing His praises, because the good things in this life are the bad things of heaven. The best of this earth pales in comparison with what the Lord has for us here on earth. I don't know anybody here that's starving. And I know that some people have a hard time with just keeping things together, keeping food on the table, keeping a roof over their head. But he's doing that for us, isn't he? Every good thing that we have is from above. Every good thing. Conversely, every bad thing is usually from ourselves. And those are some of the choices that we have to make. Do I want to let God bless me, or do I want to just try to bless myself? How much better the things of God are to be able to say, Jesus did this for us. How much better it is to even go that extra measure and say, Jesus did this for me. Because I'm His. I'm His child. I'm the child of the living God. It sort of creates a little feeling of guilt about, Selah, think about that. What went on this past week? Were there times when I failed Him? Were there times that I chose to forget that I am that child of the living King? Did I grieve His Holy Spirit in some way? Are we convicted of the things that maybe went on last week or 2 weeks ago? And when the Lord reveals those things to us, just as David cried out, if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, show it to me. Deal with it. There's that conviction of the Holy Spirit that comes in. But when the Holy Spirit comes in with conviction, He also brings with Him that path of reconciliation. The same Holy Spirit that convicts us is the one that moves us to cry out to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And in 1 John, we read that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. Faithful to forgive, just to forgive. Justice is served when we confess our sins and He forgives us. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. There's a heavenly choir. A heavenly choir adding to the voices of the angels are going to be our voices, all singing praises to the Lord. And it seems to me in Revelation it mentions that we shall be singing a new song. A new song. One that we haven't heard before. One that we've learned in heaven. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises. And listen to this. Sing ye praises with understanding. That new language, that new song that we will find out, that we will learn, that new melody, the new lyrics that go with it, God will give us the understanding of what we're singing. And He'll give us the understanding of why we're singing it too. So when we're singing praises, we sing praises to God on an individual basis because He's a personal Savior. And we can acknowledge that there's a corporate blessing that we get in our churches and among our congregations and among our brothers and sisters in Christ. But there are so many times when we praise the Lord and we think, oh, praise the Lord, You delivered me from that. You delivered me from this, that, and the other thing. Lord, You're so good to watch over me. We are so me-oriented. But He's going to give us the understanding of everything that He did that motivates our praise. Because the wickedness of the earth that we've been delivered from will be revealed. And there's nothing that won't be revealed in the end time. There's nothing that won't be revealed as we stand before the throne of grace. But praise God, we'll be judged on the basis of the fact that we're believers. We've probably all heard the story that we stand before the throne, the great throne of God, but Jesus is our defense lawyer. Jesus is our defense lawyer. And Jesus will say, Father, may I approach the bench? And then he brings up all the paperwork. He brings up all the record of our life, our good points, our bad points, our strong points, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. And he says, Dad, these are mine. And the father will look at him and shake his head and say, boy, you got a bunch, don't you? But he also says, if they're yours, then I know the price that you paid for them. The price that you paid in your blood, your suffering, your death, the cross, the burial. I know what you did for them. And the penalties are paid in full. See, there's that white stone that comes from the judgment seat of the magistrate. Not a black stone that issues a verdict of guilty, but a white stone that vacates the charges, removes the charges. You're not guilty. You're not guilty. Sing ye praises with your understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. Interesting, because during that 1,000-year millennial reign, after God, after Jesus Christ has returned to earth, revealed himself to the whole earth and to all of humanity, there will still be heathen and unbelievers. There will still be people that are rebellious and don't want to live under the authority of God. They resent the fact that God will judge them. God reigneth over the heathen. He reigneth over them then, and he reigneth over them now, just that they don't know it. He sets up circumstances and situations in their lives where they have opportunity to say, who did that? They can be astounded. They can be held in awe. They can be in misunderstanding. They can be not understanding. They can be disinformationalized. There's a good word. They can receive all kinds of things to bolster their own position that they're still independent and not under anybody's authority except their own or maybe the government. But we know that the scriptures also say, why do the heathen rage? Why do the heathen rage? Because they're being shown this wonderful authority over themselves. God is over them. People think the government is over us. If we read the newspapers and we understand who's running for controller of New York next year, we understand that the heathen are raging. They've got to get back into power. Did you ever wonder why that particular gentleman is running again for office? It's because he's not suited for anything other than politics. He's not suited for anything but gleaning from the public his salary, manipulating the people under him, and as state controller, or maybe New York City controller, I'm not even sure which it is, he's going to have charge of the money. And apparently, he's suited for politics, but he's not suited for money. How can we trust someone who goes ahead and spends money the way he did after he was removed from office, after he resigned? The heathen rage. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. And the throne of his holiness is what reveals all of the unholiness of earth, of man's hearts. The princes of the people are gathered together. Even the people of God. Even the people of the God of Abraham. The princes of the people are gathered together. even the people of the God of Abraham. Well, we are of those people of the God of Abraham, not just the Israelites. We're the ones that are going to be the princes. We're going to be the ones that rule and reign with him from his throne. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth, literally the protectors of the earth, belong to God. The protectors of the earth belong to God. That's us. Why are we the protectors of the earth? Because God gave to Adam and Eve dominion over the earth, over the sea, over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. He gave us dominion over them. We are to be the protectors of the earth. Now, we sometimes laugh at this whole green movement and the futility of it, because we know that there's a great deal of money that some people are making out of green industries. But the futility of it is that God returned, Jesus returns, just in time before we destroy ourselves. The protectors of the earth have not been able to do a very good job, because natural resources are being burned up, used up, unreplenished. But God levels the playing field. As he reconciles the earth back to himself, there will be lushness, there will be beauty, the beauty that God designed in the original garden. And he'll give us and allow us to keep for that 1,000-year millennial reign. He'll let us keep that dominion over the earth. And it won't be Al Gore that tells us what to do anymore. It'll be us that tells people like Al Gore what to do, what they can do and what they can't do with the earth, what form of energy will be used, what to promote, what to deny. That's all coming because he says the shields, the protectors of the earth, the defenders of the earth, they belong to God. He is greatly exalted. He is greatly exalted. Now, this is the God that has chosen to call us to his side. This is the God whom Jesus came to pay a penalty for. Us. That came out a little wrong. This is the God who sent Jesus to pay the penalty for all of the ways that we have failed, all of the wrong decisions we've made, all of the sin issues that we've struggled with, personal issues, corporate issues, wrong thinking, misinformation, disinformation. God is to be greatly exalted at this time, not mankind. Jesus Christ will live and rule and reign on that throne with his Father. And he is our inheritance. That sounds like a win-win situation for us. Because with Jesus, all things are possible. We cannot lose. He cannot lose. The devil will be destroyed. The liars will be put down. The ones that abused people in the past, they will receive their judgment. While we stand before him and receive crowns to throw at his feet. Just to throw at his feet. There's hope in this psalm. And it is no wonder then that it is a psalm that would be sung at the new year. With all of the things of the past year behind us, we are sustained, we're still standing, we're still believing, we're still hoping. There's a better day coming. Because he's ours. And we're his. He said, I will be their God and they will be my children. Heavenly Father, thank you for this this wonderful psalm of joy. And Lord, we can't miss the fact that as we had Barb and Tim here to share about the missionary work over in Tanzania, we can't help but think that these are some of the people that will be under our feet. And the believers over there will be the ones that stand with us, side by side. Such tremendous hope in a country that's officially Muslim and worshiping a false god and believing a false prophet. Lord, it's not unlike, in many ways, it's not unlike our own little Finger Lakes region, where another angel came to another man and established another religion. Lord, we ask that that warning of Paul from Galatians chapter 1 ring out loud and clear to all those that will be tempted to say that we all worship the same God. Lord, you alone are God. There is no God beside you. There was no God that came before you. There is no God that will come after you. And you remind us that of that so many times in the middle pages of Isaiah. You alone are Lord, and we are your servants. Lord, catch our hearts. Draw us close. Make us not only willing, but make us joyful to serve you. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. From Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2, God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. Just a couple of birthdays this week.